welcome back to Black Armada Tales Plays Gladiators 2050. Before the commercial break, we were watching the crocodiles pursue our contenders around the Birmingham Indoor Arena, and some of them did not make it. But for those that did survive, we are back to see whether they can make it to the dreaded Eliminator. My name is Josh Fox, my pronouns are he and him, and Becky, you will go on my first whistle.
I'm Becky Anderson, and my pronouns are she and her.
Ed, you will go on my second whistle.
My name's Ed Tomlinson, and my pronouns are he, him, and I'm looking forward to playing Brian the Shuffinator, Shufflewit.
Is he still alive?
He is. He has got a shattered pelvis, which we probably need to review whether that's a realistic injury or not. But
you can strap that up.
Yeah. A couple of painkillers.
Get some tape on it.
Sue, you will go on my third whistle.
I'm Sue Elliott, and my pronouns are she and her.
And we're playing Gladiators 2050, which is, explains the whole whistle thing. Cool.
It's a really funny joke, actually, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't understand it. Get out.
Ed made the first whistle joke in the last session, but I'm making it again because I liked it.
I think I managed to squeeze in an awooga last session as well. So yeah, I've done all of that.
You did. That was very good.
You've
very
done
fine.
The heavy lifting on this game. Yeah. I can't deny it.
There is something in that, to be fair. Right. I think we completed whatever my event was called. I can't remember what it was called now. The climby, netty, get shot in the backy one.
Yes.
It's had acid guns, didn't it?
Yes. Yes, it's all coming back to me now.
Should have been called Jack and Jill Went Up the Hill or something like that, but it wasn't called that. It had a different name. Anyway. It's all in the recording, people. If you watched last week's episode, you will already know this. So that means that it is now Sue's turn to generate an event.
Should I just make some dice sounds?
Yes, I wonder what my roles will be.
Sue definitely has not pre-generated her event.
So I roll a 6. On the first column.
And remind us what that is.
That is ride-on equipment.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Is that like little tiny tractors or something?
I've been waiting for someone to roll this since I first wrote the game, so congratulations.
I also roll a 6 on the second column, which gives us fire.
Oh. Can't go wrong with fire.
Yep. I roll a 1 on the third column, which is balance.
Interesting.
And then I rolled a 1 on... Was that a 1? Yeah, I rolled a 1 on my D6. And then I rolled a 12, which gives us weapons. So we've got ride-on equipment, fire, balance, and weapons.
Oh God, this is almost amazing. An event that has already existed in Gladiators. But, but the fire makes it different.
So, this is this is what I've thought. You were the contestant... And the gladiator are both on motorbikes with big welded on kind of sheet metal horse's head on the front of it.
Can I ask, are these full-size motorbikes or those tiny monkey bikes?
Oh my God.
Would it work with tiny monkey bikes?
Well, are we talking the head of a Shetland pony or are we talking the head of a Clydesdale?
Shire horse.
Yeah.
It's got to be like a some kind of hell horse, I think. it's a regular sized motorbike. Okay. I think I'm going to... Yeah, we'd need to have a bit of dignity about this.
Do we? Okay, fine. I'm in.
So the motorbikes, the contestants are going to ride towards each other on these motorbikes.
Oh, shit.
But they're on very narrow... beams, basically. Oh, two narrow walkways.
Yep.
Motorbike ways.
Balance tick.
And they are both equipped with some kind of futuristic lance. That's right, we're jousting, baby.
Nice.
And there are also at random intervals along these roads, there are kind of fire cannons ready to just blast at unpredictable intervals. So you have to hold your nerve and your balance in order to drive towards your opponent and hopefully knock them off their hell horse bike.
Into the mandatory pool of firework crocodiles.
We'll just chuck some crocodiles in there.
Firework crocodiles.
I think you established in session one that there were going to be crocodiles in every event. So I don't know why you did that, but you definitely said it, so...
That's just what the contestant was told. I don't know if it's true or not.
Flaming crocodiles. Just to add some extra fire.
So what's the name of this event?
That's the only thing I haven't thought of.
Oh, I've already thought of like three different names for it while you've been talking, so...
Us with those names.
Well, so what? Number one that came to mind first is Hellrider. Number two, it reminds me of Nightmare, the TV show, but it's like with a K, Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And then that also reminded me of Knight Rider.
Yeah, I was going to say Knight Rider. Surely that's where you end up, right?
I mean, maybe. Yeah.
Let's do it. I can't.
They're better than my suggestions.
If Knight Rider's on the table, I've got to take Knight Rider. I'm sorry, that's just...
Are there any gladiators in this, by the way?
Yeah, so there's one contestant and a gladiator.
Oh, I see. So you're not, it's not two contestants running at each other, it's contestant. No. Okay, wow. Fucking hell. Sounds good.
I'm thinking Stonehenge on a tiny monkey bike. You've got a missed opportunity there. Just saying.
Stonehenge on a normal bike would look like a tiny monkey bike.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. So the lights come up and illuminate this big, long, thin road. And the way they've lit it, it looks as if it's just suspended over a bottomless pit. And the fire cannons are lighting up dramatically as well to spark the beginning of this momentous event. That's right, folks. It's time for Knight Rider. This truly is the event that separates the heroes from the zeros. The crowd goes wild.
Yeah.
I see Karen Mostyn there, getting ready, just looking over her motorbike, working out the controls. I have been told that the contestants have been given a brief introduction to the motorbikes, but it's really different when you get up there, when you see how narrow that pathway really is. Feeling the weight of that lance, there's nothing like it, folks. Just really momentous. And I see her contender getting ready there at the other end. And what's that? Oh, yes, it looks like it's Riptide. Riptide looks as if there's like a wind machine sort of in her face, just letting her mullet kind of just gently blow heroically behind her. Yes, Riptide there looking very, very comfortable up there. Obviously, she's put a lot of hours in on that bike. I think she might have even named her bike. That's right, yes, Lancelot. And it looks like we're about ready to go. The referee is about to blow the whistle. And they're off. And we see Karen really just... Well, do you want to describe, Becky, what your opening gambit is here?
Yeah, I will do. I've given this some thought. I think that Karen is quite worried about this event. And in her mind, the best thing to do to both get it over fastest and to succeed is to just floor the accelerator straight out of the gate. No kind of opportunity for hesitation, no opportunity for wobbling. It's just get up a good head of momentum as early as possible and use that to kind of carry her through the beam balancing on it. You know what I mean? Like, you're on a bike, and if you're driving too slowly on a bike, you wobble over and you fall off. She's applying the same logic here. So, as quickly as she can get that thing up to 100 miles an hour, she's doing it.
Nice. Do you want to see how that works out for you?
Yeah. I'm going to add that she's not worrying too much about being accurate with the lance.
Mm-hmm.
Forward momentum is where it's at.
Am I right in thinking that if you don't hit the gladiator with the lance, and they don't hit you with the lance, you're going to collide? Or is there, are there two separate...
Are we not on two
there's
tracks?
Kind of, there's two separate tracks, yeah. Yeah, so
okay.
You'll have to just go, turn around.
Harsh, Josh.
Have another go. Well, yeah, you know, when you were describing it, I started thinking about, what's that, Tron? And you're whizzing along on.
And you run out and you're trying to cut them off.
I'm going to roll. What am I rolling?
It's
2d6. 2d6.
Plus one because it's a live event. Have you got any strengths that are relevant?
I'm a step aerobic. Step aerobics is my main hobby, which requires a lot of balance, strength, and coordination.
No, you've obviously forgotten that none of your characters' abilities that they started out with are in any way relevant until such time as you've proven yourself rolling a 10 or more. So have you got any strengths?
No.
No.
This is a new character. The last one died.
Oh, right. Okay. Then no. And also, have you? Are there any weaknesses that might get in the way?
No, this is a new character.
And so are there any particular reason to think that you should apply a negative penalty to...
Oh, yeah.
Karen? I've forgotten you were called Karen.
Karen Mostyn.
Everyone called Karen now is like basically an internet stereotype, which is very unfortunate because that's presumably quite a lot of people.
Well, that's why I chose the name, so...
Yeah, fair. I mean, this is a fictional person, so it's different.
I've got nothing immediate springs to mind, so...
I guess you're just rolling at a straight plus one, then.
Did you say it was 1d12?
2d6.
No, 2d6.
2d6. D6. Okay, let's do this. I rolled an 8.
Oh, you succeed.
I rolled an 8.
Yes. Goodness me.
Well, I mean, you say I succeed, perhaps I just don't fall off. I mean, what is the success condition for this situation? Not dying.
Well, I feel like, complete success would be knocking the gladiator off.
Yeah, it would.
Spectacular success, yeah.
But that would be a 10.
That would be a spectacular success. Okay. And I see that Karen has gone for a very aggressive strategy here, just going all out there on her bike, and it looks like it might have actually taken Riptide by surprise. And she hasn't got time to get her lance down into position, and they have passed each other. That is a safe pass. Goodness me, it looks like they will have to turn round and try again. Well done there, Karen. That does, in fact, count as a success in this event. Well done. I can see, Karen's girlfriend there in the audience cheering her on, which is always lovely to see. Hope things don't turn out tragically.
I was thinking Karen would just go so fast, she'd just carry on straight through the wall of the arena into the distance.
And the contestants have turned round and they are straight back into it. It looks like Riptide is wasting no time here. She's really putting her foot down there. The gap is closing. Riptide is in position with her lance. What will Karen do?
Karen's strategy is going to be very similar to the first strategy because it works so well for her. The difference is that she is actually going to slightly adjust the lance position. So it's pointing at
Riptide.
Riptide instead of not.
Well, what
Let's see if
wrong?
That makes any difference at all. Mm. So do I need to get a roll of 10? Otherwise, we're just going to do this for forever. Mm. How many passes do you get?
I think it accumulates. So if get another success, I think that sort of...
Okay. Do I have any negatives?
No, I think if anything, you're in a slightly stronger position now. I mean, you've got through one pass.
I've got through one pass. Let's do this. Okay.
And you have the love of a beautiful woman.
I have the love of a beautiful woman. Maybe I should shout, "I'm doing it for you, Shell!" Obviously, her name's Michelle, but I call her Shell.
I think Shell's wearing a t-shirt with a picture of your face on it.
Yeah. Maybe I should, if I survive this round, maybe I'll coin the nickname the Mostinator.
What? You can't steal Shuttlenators.
Yeah, I can.
Mine's more catchy.
Oh, no.
I think you're getting ahead of yourself.
I rolled a 6.
Oh, shit.
6 is just a fail, though, right? It's not a deadly fail.
What's a deadly fail?
Okay, then.
Yeah, I think if you roll 5 or less. Is it 5 or less?
Yeah, it is.
5 or less is when you have to roll on the special dead table.
Karen looking very strong there. The gap is closing. And oh, no! A huge plume of flames there just completely threw Karen off her aim. And it looks like it'll be down to this third and final pass. Karen looking ever so slightly singed there, but I think she's okay.
Right, I'm going to try something different this time. I'm going to slightly stand up in the stirrups of... I know they're not really stirrups because it's not really a horse, but in my head they're stirrups. I'm going to slightly stand up in the stirrups and sort of lean my weight very slightly forward into the lance like you see people do when they're actually on horses.
Very nice.
I'm feeling very comfortable with this bike now, so... And concentrate on the lance situation. Am I at any penalties after my fail?
There's no mishap. There was no mishap, mm-hmm. So I think...
Oh, hang on, Josh. Did you say it was a plus one? Because I'm doing it live.
You get plus one because you're doing it live, yeah.
I rolled a 7 and not a 6, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't make a difference.
Okay.
It's the same. Is a 7 a fail as well?
6 and 7 is the same.
6 and 7 is the same. Fine. Okay.
No modifiers. Go for it.
I'm doing this then. No modifiers except I presume it keeps
except
plus
for your plus one.
Your base plus one. Yeah. I rolled a 7 plus 1. It means I got an 8.
Woo! Oh, yes. Very nice. Okay, the crowd has started to chant Karen's name in the audience. There's a really great atmosphere in here.
Not sure whether it's an insult or a motivational chant.
Choosing to see it's motivational.
I've never seen a contender respond to an event like this. Karen looks absolutely laser focused on her opponent there. Riptide, for the first time, actually looks quite shaken here. Okay, here we go. The gap is closing. And oh, Karen manages to dodge a plume there. Very good. She's still on target there. She's still on target. Riptide. Really not looking as confident as she did at the start of this event. And yes, contact. And there we go. Riptide is over the motorbike, over the road and into the crocodiles. That's right. It's the end for Riptide. They may be able to fish her out in time. Who knows? But that doesn't matter. What matters is we have a new champion of Knight Rider. It's Karen, everyone. Karen Mostyn.
That means it's interview time.
Karen, what can I say? How did you feel up there?
I won't lie to you. I felt like a god. I felt like a god up there on that steed. And I would recommend anybody to try it out. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I just want to say, like, Riptide, she's just been such an amazing competitor. And I hope she makes it out of there okay.
Well, yes, we're still waiting for news on that, but...
She's a cracking girl.
Well, you really gave her a run for her money. I think if she's able to speak after this, she will be congratulating you heartily. So well done again, Karen. And for kids at home, you know, remember what Karen said. Do give it a try yourselves.
I love you, Shell.
I think a message flashes up on the screen. Do not try this at home.
Yeah. Safety first, remember.
Amazing.
Oh, I'm breaking continuity there, Ed. Sorry.
It makes sense to me.
I think it is like, do try at home, get the board game, but also safety first.
Yes.
Right.
Maybe that's where the little mini monkey bikes come in.
Yes.
Sell those.
Yes.
There you go, see.
At the gift shop.
Yeah. Get your Knight Rider ride on toy.
And tiny chainsaws, but remember.
Little pedal powered one. Right. So we now, the rest of us, have to do the same event, but in montage mode, where we just roll the once and resolve the whole thing in one go, with Sue narrating our outcome. Yeah.
Shall I go?
Do we have to, just a second, I just want to check whether we actually have to describe our overall approach to the task and roll the dice. So it's
okay. So Brian is trussed up in some sort of brace around his pelvic region to retain his contain his shattered pelvis so he can finish the event. He's also pouring with sweat and slightly delirious at this point, so he's sort of pointing randomly as they guide him onto the the motorbike. I think his approach is he sort of slumps forward into the accelerator whilst pointing the lance. So he sort of slumped over the motorbike as it sort of ploughs ahead very fast. And then I think the lance sort of swings sideways to try and catch the gladiator and knock them off before he dies himself.
Probably. Better roll the dice. No modifiers. So, well, feels like he needs a negative modifier for that.
Well, shattered no. pelvis is a negative, isn't it?
That's pretty negative. I'd say that was negative.
No, because it's in montage mode, there are no modifiers. So
no, there are no. Because he's got hidden strength as well.
Did you only get one roll? So
five.
then that happens. I think the dice knew that you had a shattered pelvis. So. So you have to roll the mishap table.
2d6.
Yes. No modifier.
6.
Oh dear. On a 6 or less, you're taken out entirely, seriously injured or dead, and must retire from the competition. Sorry, Shopinator.
Maybe your pelvis just didn't hold together.
The Carinator is taking over now.
Mustinator.
Carinator,
sounds bad. Do you want me to describe how he dies?
I think it's down to Sue, but... Go maybe ahead. She'll let you have some vulnerability.
Fire away. He's all yours.
Not in favour of dignity.
Okay. Brian's really putting on a brave face here, but it does look a little bit grey at the same time. I think he has some kind of strategy here, but oh no. No, the Stonehenge, really, he's never been knocked off. In this event, even when contestants have made contact, he is literally unable to be moved anywhere. And he's taken his lance and he has just thrown it straight through Brian there. Nasty end. Nasty end for Brian. But hopefully quite fast. Quite quick, I think, that one. Yes. Yep.
Nice. Did you mind? Who am I? I'm Alex Brooke. So Alex, I feel Alex always tries to do something cunning. And I think the thing that he's going to do, which is cunning, is he's going to do a bit of a stunt. So he's going to time his ride up. He's been watching carefully. And he's worked out the timing of the fire blasts. And so he can avoid getting hit by the fire. And then he suddenly accelerates and does like a wheelie. He pops a wheelie. And, like, literally jumps the bike through the air over one of the flaming things, and so that as he points his lance at whoever it is, Gladiator, whoever, he's got, like, the extra momentum from coming down. Obviously, this is potentially very disastrous, but it doesn't matter because I get no modifiers, so let's find out. Oh, dear.
Yay!
I got a 5. I'll start working up my new contender, shall I? Oh, no, hang on. I get to roll on the thingy table, don't I? I could potentially survive.
How come
this.
Ed didn't get to roll on the table?
He did. He was taken out.
Oh, sorry. My confusion.
Yeah, Ed just didn't roll very well, and hopefully that will not be the case for me. I've got to roll a 7 or higher to survive. I rolled a 5.
Are you taken out as well, then?
I am taken out. May or may not be dead.
Okay.
Which is also what Brian was. May or may not be dead. But turns out, extremely dead.
I kind of decided your fate there.
He might come back with like a bandage through, with like a lance, sawn off lance.
like Pat Butcher in Ghosts, just. Well, it really is a horrible kind of poetic irony for Alex Brooke there that he was so thoroughly set on fire with whatever stunt he was trying to pull there. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it was the way he wanted to go. I'm not sure. Although I'm hearing he may still be alive. We're not sure. Still a lot of fire to put out there. But good effort, Alex, or not. And hopefully see you soon.
Sad times.
Okay, so...
Well, you got immolated.
Yeah.
Well, you did say you were kind of trying to jump over the flames.
But you just totally failed to jump over the flames and just got annihilated by the flames.
Seems like it, yeah. The dice are cruel.
Do I do my own as well?
You do, yeah. You have to do your own.
Okay, so Deborah Final is just going to... She's a, you know, she's a slow and steady kind of girl. I think she's just going to concentrate on the balancing aspect and hope that she makes it to her target, or hopefully the gladiator is just taken out with fire. I think she's just really hoping that luck is on her side here. That's a 7. That's a...
That's a bad miss. But not a very bad miss.
You fail. Okay. Well, I think I can see what Deborah was going for there with a kind of more of a cautious approach, but it really wasn't a match for Claymore. He just... It was just a swing and a hit straight away, and she is down into that water among the crocodiles. Hopefully we can fish her out in time. But yeah, it's really not for the faint of heart, this event. You really have to go all in or get out. And that's it.
There we go.
Or die
Don't
trying.
Don't forget, for the small number of people who did actually get through that, which I think is Karen, don't forget to put your score up by 1 if you haven't already.
Hell yeah, it's Karen.
So, and don't forget for those whose characters unfortunately left the event that you get to keep the score of your previous character.
Oh, right. Have we done all the events?
We have.
That was the 4th event.
So what happens now?
Now we do the Eliminator.
But quite a lot of you are dead, aren't they?
But I'm going to make a new character with my score.
Yeah, you've got to make new characters first.
So Deborah failed, but not disastrously. So she just gets 0, but she's kind of not...
Yes, that's right. No score benefit.
Mishapped.
Not dead.
Okay.
I've created my new character. So my new character is Robbie the Robot, who should have a surname, but he's just Robbie the Robot. Pronouns he, him. He's from Wolverhampton. He's a network engineer and amateur chess player and fly fisherman, inheriting his predecessor's score of 1. Karen seems to have the best score so far.
I'm working hard on that.
How many characters of yours have died? Just the 1?
Just the 1.
Once Ed has made up his character, I shall explain how to do the Eliminator.
I was going to put civil servant, but I thought that might upset the civil servants.
It's fine. I wouldn't be offended. It can be a boring job.
Well, it's very broad, isn't it?
It's got to be boring. That's the important thing. Everything about a contender should be boring. Watching Gladiators relatively recently, the number of people who try to explain their incredibly boring job in a quite detailed way.
Yeah.
They'll say, so I have some very interesting contracts to manage. The poor presenter has to find a way to steer them off the topic as quickly as possible.
It's like when one of the contestants has a funny story on Bullseye or something, and it's like the most tedious thing you've ever heard.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
But also great at the same time. It's great source material for here. I should have watched more of them.
Yes, you should.
There we go, darts champ.
Oh, another darts champ?
Have we got 2 darts champs?
Yeah, Gary the Man Manton, who... I can't remember whether he died, but he's definitely out. He was a former world darts champion. Now, there's nothing to say you can't have more than 1. Maybe they're friends.
Well, maybe you think you should go pool champion.
Or maybe so they're enemies.
I keep the score, but I don't have the strength or the injury.
Correct.
Okay. So I've got... And this is a nod to one of the families in our Haunting on the House on the Hill Legacy Edition. We had to create family names, and somebody did a... You've got like this family crest, and somebody wrote the name in one half of it, so it didn't look right. So he had to extend the name. So we just put... I'll just put Stein on the end. So he is Nigel Woodstone Stein, as is the family in Legacy, is Woodstone Stein. Or something like that. He's a civil servant from Norwich. And he's a darts champion, a local darts champion, and a Toby Jug collector.
I think you might have just created the worst person there.
Do we need to explain for our American audience? Or our international audience?
You might need to explain it for
what
me.
Let
them Google it themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I shall now explain how the Eliminator works. It's very simple, really. The Eliminator is an obstacle course that the contenders must run through. The fastest person wins. Mechanically, each obstacle in the obstacle course is an event, which all contenders perform at the same time. We take turns to describe an obstacle. We're going to roll on two columns of our choice from the event generation table and incorporate the results. And an obstacle should be simple and straightforward, unlike the events in the main part of the game. There are no gladiators involved. And then everybody, including the person who described the obstacle, rolls the dice once using modifiers as per a live event and describes their own outcome. Anyone who succeeds on their roll completes the obstacle quickly and increases their score by one. An ordinary failure means you did it, but badly, and your score remains unchanged. Anyone who's taken out of an event decreases their score by one. So that's the basic deal, and the winner is going to be the person with the best score at the end. So, like, you've got to imagine Karen is basically going on the referee's first whistle, because she's got a score of two going into this.
Yay!
Robbie and Nigel are going on the second whistle, because they've got a score of one, and Deborah somehow has managed to get through this with a score of zero, so goes on the final whistle. So, should we go in the same order we did before?
Okay. I have rolled 8, small, narrow space, and 4, explosions.
Oh my god. That's quite a combination.
And I already know what it's going to be. It's going to be called Rat Run.
Very nice.
Thanks, you. And it's going to be a number of what look like air vent tunnels. You know, the sort of thing that John McClane might find himself in at Christmas.
I was going to say, Die Hard.
Yeah. A series of those, but not like straight, sort of set out in a maze, but some of them are booby-trapped with explosions. And you basically have to... Am I going to have gladiators in this or not?
No, because it's the Eliminator.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's just the first person to make it through the maze. I mean, it's not a very complicated maze, because it is the Eliminator, and they want people to, you know, they want a good show. But yeah, a booby-trapped maze of air vent ducts called Rat Run.
Right.
Very nice.
I didn't know the prizes so much, otherwise I would have made more of an effort to not shatter my pelvis.
£5,000.
And a trip to Barbados.
The trip to Barbados is the best. I would personally be interested in going on the show for that reason. Yeah, so you roll the dice once using modifiers as per a live event, so you do get the plus one, and you do get any relevant modifiers, and you describe the outcome.
So I do it for myself first, and then do you guys montage
Ed first? And there's no differences. We only roll the one dice once, so in that sense it's like a montage, but we use the modifiers, and in that sense it's like a live event, and we just describe our own outcome, which is unlike the previous events.
Got it.
So I'm rolling 2d6.
Correcto.
No modifiers.
No, you do get the modifiers, so you got the plus one, and any strengths or weaknesses or what have you.
So I get the plus one for the score. But no strengths or weaknesses because Brian had the strength.
We get pluses for our scores?
No bonus for the score. Just plus one.
I didn't think so. But then Ed said it and I got excited.
Man, everybody's like half asleep tonight. What's going on?
Up five.
Very tough. Oh.
Oh dear. You better roll on the mishap table. You may not be getting any further in this eliminator.
That's fine. Maybe I can read the Toby Jug Wikipedia. that's good. That's a bonus.
Thought you would be writing the Toby Jug Wikipedia.
Well, Nigel obviously contributes to
rewriting it to make it accurate.
Yes. Where's the mishaps? Scroll. Mishaps.
Page 8.
6.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Right.
What's happened, well, Toby Judge, hurdle. Man?
As it's your eliminator, Becky, I think you should describe how...
No, you get to describe your own for the eliminator for some reason.
It's a tunnel with flaming flames.
No, that's not what I said in any way.
Is it spinning blades?
It's a
Is it a maze? Giant mouse?
It's a maze of tunnels that are like air vent size.
Yeah.
With booby traps. that if you trigger them, there's an explosion.
Okay, well, that's what happens then. So he's like crawling. You can see the little head cam GoPro style thing that's sort of probably attached, looking back at their face. And then he's like, I think I found it. And then it's like a and loads of like, and probably like those bits of polystyrene get thrown across the screen because obviously it's polystyrene bits here and there.
That's perfect.
And then they cut very quickly to the cheerleaders, I guess.
That is that. Well, right, it's my go. Let's find out what happens to Robbie the robot. I was a bit worried that no one would get through the first obstacle, but Robbie has got through the first obstacle.
I mean, this is a pretty lethal game, Josh.
I think we see Robbie on his head cam. There's a sort of, you know, jiggly camera shot of his face, and his eyes looking like unusually large and kind of bulgy as he kind of pushes himself as fast as he can through this tunnel. His shoulders and hands are squashed together because the tunnel's really narrow, and he comes across half an arm. Looks like it might be
with a Toby jug on it.
With a Toby jug, yeah, a Toby jug
with
tattoo.
With a Toby jug tattoo, like, love it.
He grabs so that good. And takes it with him because otherwise it's going to get in the way, and then just chucks it at the next intersection before popping out possibly first. I don't know. It depends what the rest of you roll.
Right, it's a race now, is it?
Well, it's the Eliminator, so yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Right, me next, yep. Is it? Okay.
I think so.
Ah, and that's well, that's a 7.
Ooh.
That's okay.
If I've got a plus 1. So that's a fail, but not disastrously.
Yeah, so in this case, it means that your score is not going to go up. So you're kind of falling behind, but not actually dropping out of the race.
Just keeping on the zero score.
Deborah, really succeeding through mediocrity here.
I can't believe Deborah Final's still alive.
I know, right? What the hell kind of guardian angel does she have?
She's the only one to survive.
She's my second, character.
Oh, she's your second character. Yeah. Tina Langley was your first, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
What, is Karen dead?
No.
Karen's still going, okay.
Karen's still going.
Karen is thriving.
Karen's quite a new character.
Karen's my second character.
Oh, right. So Brian was original.
Yeah, he was original.
He was the only one who had a chance to be the original, but yeah, not anymore.
So Deborah encounters a booby trap, but instead of kind of injuring her, it kind of just launches her, it ejects her from the maze, and she is forced to go back to the start of the obstacle and go through it again. Yeah. I don't know how to describe a failure.
I like that.
Is it like a cloud of smoke and you're just like comedy style, like a puff of smoke out of a tube somewhere?
Pretty much.
Into a trampoline while the crocodiles are snapping at you.
Yeah, one leaps up and it just misses her by like an inch.
Blimey. Right, and then you have to do it yourself.
I know.
Karen.
Right, I've got my plus 1 for just doing it live. Oh no, I rolled a 5, so that means I got a 6 overall.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No?
Relatively speaking.
Relatively speaking. So I do have to roll on the table of awful.
No.
Or is it just a straight fail? That's not too bad. I'll take it.
So you have to describe it.
I mean, is it still a fail?
It's a fail, so in the case of the Eliminator, if you succeed, your score goes up, meaning you're closer to being in the lead. If you fail, your score stays level.
Okay.
And if you have a mishap, your score goes down by 1.
Okay, so I think that it's going to be a pretty average pass through the maze, but on her way out, she accidentally trips a tripwire and an explosion just catches her ankle. And I think that's what slows her down in the final exiting. Otherwise, she'd have been doing quite well. And she now has a 3rd-degree burn on her ankle.
So, unless I misunderstood something, I think Robbie's the only one who succeeded in that event. So his score goes up to 2. And therefore, he is neck and neck with Karen.
He is neck and neck with Karen. Ha ha ha.
So now we go on to the next obstacle. I think we should resolve them in reverse score order so that we can see who's actually in the lead first. if that makes sense, from this point onwards. But Ed, would you like to create an event for us? An obstacle, rather?
Yes, I would. Let me just find the tab. I've got to close the Toby Jug one. And, so I'll roll two dice.
You can choose two columns.
Two columns.
Roll a d12 on each, yeah.
D12.
Your choice, which ones?
It's got to be dangers. And I'll go equipment. So let's see what the equipment is first. 9. Ball or other small object. Or item, even. 7. Water. It's small. I was thinking like some sort of ball running thing, but that they would be big.
It's a real insight into the way someone's mind works, this, isn't it? It's like a Rorschach test.
Ball, water.
Do you know what I instantly thought?
I know where
thought?
My mind immediately goes.
Yeah. I immediately thought of what this should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is patched together from where I am right now. You've got to walk along a bar juggling balls above some water while water cannons fire at you.
Yep.
And you're being rained on by water and you've drunk a load of water. So you don't want to wee yourself.
Okay, that last bit was taking it too far. Becky's now set the precedent that we have to name bits of the eliminator, which I don't know why she did that, but she's done it. So
what,
now you have to name.
Surely it's obvious, like, why you would do that.
I think in the original eliminator, they just say, always going up the cargo net. They wouldn't have said, you know, the death net or something.
Well, except that the treadmill bit at the end, they call something, don't they?
The travelator.
Yeah, well, that's the name for. It is a travel. That's what you call it, isn't
is it?
If you go to an airport and you're going along one of those things, they're called a travelator, aren't they?
Is that because of gladiators, though?
I don't know. Maybe. Could be, but I doubt it.
Because I think other places call them moving walkways.
Travelator. Interestingly, the top hit for Travelator is Travelator Gladiators.
Is it like Tannoy versus Public Address System? Is Travelator like a proprietary name?
Travelator is British English, according to Wikipedia. Oh. So
because of gladiators?
Possibly. Anyway, Ed, what are you calling it?
No idea. I've been trying to think of it a whole time that you've been talking.
Waterworld.
Wet.
Fine.
There we go.
I'll take it.
That's a slam dunk.
He's in the zone.
I do have to ask you, Ed, if somebody drops the balls, what happens? If they fail, do they have to go back to the start or something?
Yes.
And if they fail to juggle them properly, same thing?
If they drop a ball, they have to fish it out of the pool of crocodiles and go back to the beginning. That's it. What else do you need to know?
Well, I guess I was thinking if I were a contender, I would just hold the balls in my hands without juggling.
No, you have to be visibly juggling them on a balancing bar across some water whilst gladiators fire water hoses at it and it's raining.
This would be one of those things where the referee, John Anderson, has to shout at people to do it right because people inevitably cut the corners a little bit.
If they don't juggle it, they get shot. Simple as.
But I also want to see like a cut-in of them talking to the contestants about how their training for this event went.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a training montage.
Or one of those little black and white footage of them juggling the balls.
I like the idea of them getting a professional clown in to shout at them.
Clown boot camp.
Yeah, you got a clown guy who does that tightrope thing, slacklining.
Right. It's me and Karen going first, I think. Is it?
Is it two at a time? Crikey.
Well, no, it's just because we've both got the same score.
Oh, shit, I rolled a 3. Plus 4. Plus 1 is 4. That's not good, is it, friend?
Right, better roll on the mishap table.
Maybe you should roll on something else while I'm rolling the mishaps.
No, I want to know what happens to you.
It's probably going to be a water-based mishap.
Yeah, I
feel
like it is.
Or a crocodile-based mishap.
Or a clown-based mishap.
So I've rolled a 5.
Oh dear.
Which means I'm taken out. It says create a new contender who inherits your current score, but I feel like you can't really do that mid-eliminator.
That's not the case in the eliminator. If you're eliminated, you're
out. If you're out, you're out. I think it says something like tough shit, which is pretty hard narrative there, Josh.
Well, I mean, it's Joshua Lever for you, isn't it? So I think it's very clear what happens here. She's juggling. It's going pretty well. She drops a ball. Now, she knows what has to happen. So she does a beautiful swan dive straight into the water. Unfortunately, there's a crocodile waiting with its mouth open. Because I think at this point in the game, the crocodiles know when a ball gets dropped that the contender is coming in fairly soon afterwards.
Yep.
So it just positioned itself like mouth open. So she dives head first down its throat. But I think it's going to be, obviously she's not big enough to just, the crocodile's not big enough for her to just disappear straight down its throat. So her head gets stuck down its throat and it panics and starts thrashing around. Maybe they cut to somebody at a different camera.
Yeah, it attracts, you can see it pans out, it attracts other crocodiles that are thrashing around.
Yeah,
it just and Michelle's horrified face.
Yeah, anyway. And then there's a quick bubble of blood and then cut to the cheerleaders. Yep.
The cheerleaders.
But I think as the camera is showing the thrashing and the arms and the blood flying, in the background we can see Robbie, who is just calmly walking along the balance beam, juggling as if nothing whatsoever is happening.
Is he an actual robot?
That's why they call him Robbie the Robot, because he's ice cold.
He's so focused.
And we see him just smoothly and with perfect focus make his way across the balance beam, juggling as little flecks of blood streak the camera that's trying to follow him, just keeps
like
going.
Like a water jet that was actually water is blood.
Some little splinters of bone fly out into the air in a shower.
Come on, get into this.
He got a 10, so I get to give him a strength.
He got a 10?
Yeah, he did. Well, he actually got an 11. I'm going to give him ice cold. I was going to give him incredible balance, but after I just described that, he's...
It's exactly the person that's never going to enjoy the money or the holiday that wins every time.
That's right. Yeah, just you wait. Right, who's next up? It must be Nigel, because he's got a score of 1.
But he's dead.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Nigel's arm? Deborah, then.
Well, you threw the arm away, otherwise I'd be with you all the way. Robbie.
It's true.
You could have used his extra arm for juggling.
It is still possible for Deborah to win, incredibly.
Yeah, well, this is inexplicably her obstacle. She's just rolled a 9, so that's a 10.
Ooh.
I don't know if it's her, you know, as a teaching assistant, she's had to entertain bratty little kids. So she's got a lot of weird entertainment skills at her disposal, so the juggling just hasn't fazed her at all. So with grim determination, Debbie also makes it across with all of her limbs and balls intact. Yay!
Nice! So you get to finally get some score.
Yes. And a strength. Is that right?
And a strength. Even better.
Balls of steel.
Coordination.
Okay, fine.
Okay. It is my event next, so I'm going to do equipment. I'm going to do what everybody does, which is equipment and danger, I think. But I'll roll the equipment first. I've got a 1, which is rollers. I will roll danger. I might roll an extra 1, depending. Let's see what I get. 5. Dangerous animals. Yes! About time. It's about dangerous animals.
We haven't had any dangerous animals this whole show, so it's good.
Thinking how few dangerous animals we've been having. So this is the one where the crocodiles, which have previously been, you know, a potential danger if you fuck up the event, become part of the main event. And what it is...
I'm very excited.
So basically, it's a series of these rollers which are greased. So they're greased rollers, and you have to kind of... There's one level of them which is basically kind of safe. That's the top level. Then there's a second level below that, which is very definitely not safe. It's half in, half out of the water, and there are crocodiles, like, freely roaming amongst there. So, theoretically, it is possible to just kind of hop from one roller to the next on the top level, and in that case, you'd be fine. But nobody has ever achieved this. So, nearly always what happens is you fall off the top level and you have to get into the bottom level. And there, the rollers are less greased and they've got like knobbles on them. So you've got more of a chance to progress, but you've got to get past the crocodiles. So that's the, now it's got to be called Crocolog. So I'm in the lead. So I guess I have to roll first for my own obstacle, weirdly. Oof. Right, okay. I've survived narrowly. So I think Robbie, we see him trying to do the same thing that he did with the last event, just calmly kind of walk across it. And he steps onto the first roller and he looks like he's carrying it off. He's perfectly poised. And then he steps forward to the next one. And as he does that, his back leg just sort of slides out from under him and he face plants onto the second roller before kind of getting poleaxed into the level two below. And then it ensues a panicked chase with a crocodile while someone else, while Deborah presumably is possibly trying to capitalise.
Is it just two people now then?
Mm-hmm. It is now, yeah.
Oh God, okay.
It is called the Eliminator.
That's true. Right, let's see how Debbie gets on. Okay, Debbie also rolls a six. Seven.
Debbie's cat's come in, looking at it there in the audience with a little Debbie t-shirt on.
I'm sorry if you've already answered this. Can you use your strength in this?
You certainly can, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, six, seven, eight. So that's an eight altogether.
Oh, you've got coordination. That's good.
Yes. And it's a live event, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So you're right. You've got an eight.
Cool. Thinking back to that, you know, that awesome bit in the film Big where they play that piano in the toy store and she's able to just nimbly pick her way across the top rollers. It looks a bit hairy in a couple of places, but she just manages to dance her way across.
Nice. So you're on score two. So I guess Robbie must pop out looking like his leotard ripped, his face bloody, and just ahead of you as you go into the next and final obstacle. What is that obstacle?
Goodness. Okay. So I'm going to roll on. Let's have a look at skills and techniques.
Oh, nobody ever rolls that.
Six. Racing and dodging.
Nice.
And I mean, we've got to have danger as well, haven't we?
It's a really good table, Josh, actually. That was the thing I was thinking about today. I was thinking, that table is really, it's so well considered. It's like, now you've told me that you've watched a ton of Gladiators. This is a table constructed by a person that's watched all the Gladiators.
Yes.
It's a good table.
And who likes dangers a lot.
Okay, this is a great obstacle. Basically,
What did you get?
I got racing and dodging and poison.
Oh, my God.
We come to a sort of a long corridor with like a kind of fake stone, with like fake stone walls, with tiny little recesses kind of dotted along this wall. Recesses that contain little guns shooting poison darts randomly into the corridor. You have to run through this corridor without getting stabbed by any of the poison darts.
Yikes.
Nice and easy.
What's it called?
A deadly game. Come on, Josh, you've normally got one.
Yeah,
in your back
come
pocket.
On, Josh.
Well, I was just thinking, what's it like? I thought, oh, it's darts. It's what like
about
bullseye.
Poison but deadly. No? Okay, fine.
I just can't stop thinking about poison frogs. Is there a space for that?
What the name of the thing is, I can't stop thinking about poison frogs.
No. Is there a frog riff we can do here?
I'm just going to call it Run for Your Life, because that's what you're doing.
That's fair.
Seems accurate. Right, so I go first because I'm still in the lead, only just. Right, so hang on a minute. I want to apply my strength here because I think being ice cold is valuable in a situation where there's poison darts flying. So that means I've only got plus two. I've got a nine.
Ooh.
So why don't you roll yours so that we know how close it is?
I think that's fairly unambiguous.
Have you done a Vega?
Maybe. A little bit.
Just a little roll bit. A two.
Maybe.
Well, you better roll on the mishaps, because I think we want to know whether you die.
Yeah.
All right.
I know how it happens as well.
So I think Robbie starts out, he's actually going quite slowly because he wants to make sure that he does not get hit by the poison darts. He's moving calmly and methodically, just taking one step at a time. He's obviously, maybe he's observed the pattern or something. And as a result, Deborah is able to make up some ground. What happens
then?
Yeah, Deborah is basically gets to the finish line at exactly the same time as Robbie. And she looks completely elated until she turns around and realises that there's a dart sticking out of her butt. And she just collapses on the ground, twitching.
Nice. I was thinking it'd be one of those things where your head goes all swollen and weird.
Oh, that happens.
I do,
yeah, but definitely.
Not straight away. Robbie steps over the corpse of Deborah. There's a little bit just at the end where there's like a podium, and he does a little victory dance, and then jumps through the pile of rubber bricks that you have to punch through at the end. Hooray!
Awooga!
Awooga, you have to interview me now, and you usually get to interview the runner-up as well. Who wants to interview Robbie? We don't know anything about him, really, because he's not...
Okay, I will interview you. So, Robbie, a mysterious contender out of the back of the pack, comes to the fore. Done a great job. You must be very proud of yourself.
That's right, Derek. I was doing this for Gary and also for Alex, both sadly no longer with us. But
safety first.
Safety first, as always. I think you saw that attitude in action. I have learned from my predecessors, specifically be careful with crocodiles. And I'm very much looking forward to my holiday in Barbados. I've been collecting Caribbean islands, so this will complete my little table. He pulls out of his pocket a little table he's got.
Have they got crocodiles there in Barbados? I don't think so. I think you're safe there. You're safe there, Robbie.
I think he looks genuinely nervous for a moment when you say that, and just says yes. Well, and £5,000. Going to be spending that on a new toaster.
On a new toaster, very exciting.
A new toaster, yes. Our toaster's broken down, so I'm looking forward to getting some nice new toaster. Had my eye on one for a while.
Robbie, everybody,
and don't do drugs, kids.
Good mess. And Debbie. Yay. Sorry you didn't make it. You looked like you were on the brink all the way through this contest, but you made it all the way through, and you were a runner-up. I think. What do we give her anything? It's a yes. You get a pencil and a colouring book. How do you feel about that? Are you pleased with your result? Okay, I can see. Maybe the event has been quite hard on you, Debbie, but thanks for attending. Do you agree that safety first? Okay, thanks for that. And now let's cut to our cheerleaders.
I think they're doing the safety first dance.
The safety dance.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. The safety dance.
They all like form letters of the word safety.
Yeah.
They're all wearing goggles and hard hats.
Yeah.
And yes, what do you call those things?
Goggles.
You just said goggles. Sorry. Maybe I'm tired too.
Two pairs of goggles.
Double goggles. Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We have been playing Gladiators 2050 by me, Josh Fox. You can find information about Gladiators 2050 and the rest of our stuff in the show notes. This is going to be the last show of Black Armada Tales for a little while. We're taking a break over the Christmas period, and it always takes a little while to pick up the tools again in the new year, get the recordings done and get them edited. So we will be back sometime in early 2024, and we look forward to seeing you then. Have we already wheeled out your tale of Singapore?
I don't know if we have. Have I ever told you about Singapore noodles, Ed?
Well, I know that I like them.
Me too. So, sounds like I haven't. So, when I was young, maybe about 8 or 9, mm-hmm. my mum and my grandmother, because my grandmother lived just up the road from my mum, so like we were in each other's pockets, basically. You know, we were like 10 doors down from them. They had got together one day and they had decided that a new stall had opened up in the marketplace that was selling Chinese ingredients, including these tiny, tiny little dried shrimps. And they had been reliably informed that these tiny dried shrimps were an important part of Singapore noodles, and they had got the recipe off someone and they were going to make Singapore noodles. The whole family talked about this for quite a long time, mm-hmm. because it involved exotic things like tiny dried shrimps, mm-hmm. and these strange kind of, I'd never seen rice noodles at that point in mm-hmm. my life. I'd experienced like egg noodles, but not rice noodles. So this was kind of new and exciting territory, especially for my mum who didn't do new things. So we talked about it for blooming ages. She did, and my grandma did. And then the day came and we had them and they were okay. So it was peas, these tiny shrimps that they'd got, the white rice noodles, and a tin of ham from Marks and Spencer's that they'd opened and cut up and cubed in it. And that was it. And I remember Mum saying, "How did you find it?" And me and Dad tried to be polite, but we were like, "Well, it was okay, but it was a little bit bland. Didn't think anything of it." Fast forward, I don't know, till I'm 17.
The most bland Singapore noodles ever.
Me and my boyfriend are getting a Chinese takeaway and he orders Singapore noodles, and I think, oh bloody hell, Singapore noodles, so fucking bland, no point in that, but if that's what he likes, fine, whatever. And then the Singapore noodles arrived and I just looked at this amazing pile of the most amazing, spicy, fragrant, gorgeous noodles that I'd ever seen in my life. I had some, I was like, this is flipping amazing. And like, not long after that, I went back home to my mum and I said, "Mum, I've just eaten some Singapore noodles and I had a Chinese takeaway with my boyfriend. But it wasn't like the Singapore noodles you cooked when we were..." And she said, "No, well, there was quite a lot of things in there I didn't like, so I took them all out." And it turned out that she had taken out of the recipe...
turmeric.
Everything.
Yeah.
Except plain boiled rice noodles, peas, a tin of ham, chopped and cubed, and some tiny shrimp. And maybe a little bit of salt. But everything else had gone.
From the tears of the entire nation of Singapore.
This is the thing, isn't it? I was reading a Twitter thread the other day, assembled entirely out of comments people had made on recipes on the internet, where they said, basically just like what you just said, "Oh, I took out the garlic and the chili because I don't like those things, and I added half a cup of Marmite."
Oh, no,
and I didn't like it. It was awful. Yeah, it didn't come out right. Rubbish recipe, 1 star.
I see that sort of thing all the time.
This is kind of like, just what? Like... mind blown.
There's an American shit cook that I occasionally get on YouTube shorts, and everything she cooks, it has oregano. It's got a lot of eggs. Everything has a lot of eggs. And it's like all lumped into a big thing with loads of like condensed milk and stuff a lot of the time. It's just
Whoa.
Like,
it's oregano like. Oregano and condensed milk.
It's a
really...
it's a horror show of like just terrible cooking, basically. It's entertaining, but it's just like, what are you doing? Like, you're watching that.
Is this...
I can't stop watching this. It's like,
Is this just the algorithm? 14 eggs. Have you accidentally clicked on it and watched the whole thing and now it thinks that's what you want for the rest of your life?
I quite enjoy it. I have commented on it. Because the one time she didn't use oregano was on a pasta dish.